Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
Welcome to the Most High Show. I'm James. We have a really good show ahead. We have a great discussion with our friends Mallory and Grant.
Hello, everyone.
Our friends, not just in sobriety, but our friends in Ben's Friends, which, if you're not familiar with this particular organization, is a support group set up specifically for people who are in the hospitality industry, the restaurants or hotels, or any industry really where you're dealing with the general public, because that can always be challenging whether you're sober or not. So we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk a little bit about the inception of Ben's Friends, how it came to be, kind of what a meeting looks like, what you can expect once you come join us at a meeting, which right now we're holding every Sunday afternoon at 12:30 at a really cool little restaurant in downtown. What's the name?
Southern Bell.
Southern Bell, and that's in Midtown. It's right next to the Plaza Theater, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Really cool space. So we're meeting there at 12:30 every Sunday. We just ended our second week of the relaunch. Great turnout. Great discussion at each meeting that we've had so far. So I would like to take just a minute for you guys to just sort of introduce yourself a little bit. Feel free to state your sobriety date, how you came into contact with Ben's Friends, kind of how you work that into your program of recovery. And so let's start with you, Grant. You've been, you were really instrumental in relaunching Ben's Friends here in Atlanta. Kind of tell me how that happened.
Yeah, well, it's, through the pandemic, I've had a lot of people reach out to me from the restaurant industry, just mm-hmm. with routines changed a little bit, and it's, drinking patterns changed with that. And it was apparent to me that Ben's Friends needed to be back here. The way I got sober was partially through Ben's Friends. So I've been sober since September 11th, 2018.
Nice.
My sober date. And I came to my first Ben's Friends meeting a couple of weeks before that and stopped drinking. I think I did a Google search that was like, how do I learn to drink moderately?
Done that search too.
Yeah, and sure. I did something along the lines. I was working for a liquor company at the time, and I was searching like in the restaurant industry or something like that, and Ben's Friends popped up, and I was like, oh, this is probably going to be in some other city that I'm not going to be able to get to. And it turns out there was a meeting here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So I went to that, and there were a couple people at the meeting. One of them, we were Facebook friends. We're not sure where we met, but it was probably at that bar that one night. I think we were all there, actually. And I talked with him for a long time, and I really related to what he said. And he kind of helped me through at least the first couple of weeks of sobriety and navigating, everything's a little different. So we have it back here because I think that's needed for people that are maybe just curious in sobriety. What does that mean? Especially if you work behind the bar, if you work as a server, as you work in a restaurant around alcohol, what does sobriety mean?
Mm-hmm. So and I know that it's tough enough to be in the restaurant industry, particularly challenging to attempt sobriety in this industry, because like Grant said, we're surrounded mm-hmm. by alcohol. It is a major emphasis mm-hmm. in every restaurant that I've ever worked in. And it's even more challenging now in the past year that we've thrown the pandemic in. Most restaurants were closed for a significant amount of time. The restaurant that I'm at currently was closed for about 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. So tell me, coming into Ben's Friends and sort of re-establishing Ben's Friends in Atlanta, how you came to be such a vital part of it here. Mallory.
Well, thank you, James. I guess it's best to start with, I was working at a restaurant in Pond City Market, and I was drinking and using heavily, and I started a charity. Sorry, I'll sit a little closer. I started a nonprofit organization, and I wanted to benefit. I was very interested in helping other people get sober. I didn't really want to do it myself. So I ended up meeting with the leader, the original leader of Ben's Friends here in Atlanta. And I think I'm positive that I was high the entire meeting. I mean, I got there and she was like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "I'm fine. Let's do this." So needless to say, we didn't have a partnership. That relationship kind of died pretty quickly after that. And so when I decided to try to get sober, I wanted to do literally anything but go into a 12-step program. And I was avoiding it like the plague. And so I knew of Ben's Friends because of that meeting I had wanting to benefit them. And so I showed up to a meeting, and actually we're sitting there, and the girl that I was with said, "We're just waiting for my friend Grant to get here." And I went, "There's no way," because like I had known Grant before. We were in the game together a little bit. And I was like, "There's no way it's him." And he comes around the corner and he's like shining. I mean, his eyes were clear and he had lost weight and he looked amazing. And he walked in with this like strut and I was like, "Wow, dude, how are you?" And he's like, "I'm great." And I was like, "Maybe this does work, you know?" And so that was my first meeting, and it was just the three of us. And we had a good turnout later on into the Ben's Friends, but that's basically how I came to come back into it. Yeah.
So which one of y'all speak a little clearer about sort of the origination of Ben's Friends, kind of how it came to be? Because not only is there a chapter here in Atlanta, but there's several throughout mm-hmm. the country.
Yeah.
Correct?
So, yeah, there's chapters all throughout the country mm-hmm. with a couple more of them coming. My understanding of the story of how it came to be was it was up at Charlotte Food and Wine. Charleston Food and Wine. I get the C's messed up. Don't hate me, Charlotte and Charleston. I get some.
The phones are lighting up.
Yeah. Oh, you're back there. They're doing Food and Wine, and Steve Palmer and Mickey, who started Ben's Friends, they were both up there. They're sober.
Legendary restaurateurs, I might add.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All over the South. So, both sober. And apparently, I believe it was three people died within 24 hours of that event up there. Alcohol or drug related of some sort. And they talked to each other about it, and they're like, "We can't allow this to keep happening." And it was, I don't know if he was one of the three people that died, but Ben
Murray,
yeah, was one of their friends who had taken his life recently, and apparently had been struggling with addiction for mm-hmm. years, was working around three sober people in his restaurant and never said anything to anyone.
So it was one of those situations then where necessity sort of became the mother of this creation of yeah. Ben's Friends. Because there were, from my understanding also, is that there were sober people in the industry that mm-hmm. were just sick and tired of watching their friends relapse and sick and tired of watching their friends in the industry die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and for those of you who have not been in the restaurant industry, it can certainly be a very intense environment. It can certainly be a breeding ground for substance abuse and alcoholism. And in fact, in some environments, it can be encouraged. That's sort of part of the game. That's how you operate mm-hmm. in the restaurant industry. So, coming into Ben's Friends. Mm-hmm. How have you applied what you know about Ben's Friends and this particular program to to your job in the restaurant that you're mm-hmm. at now?
Well, I'm currently not in a restaurant, but
congratulations.
Thank you. I did restaurants and service industry for 16 years. And I now am a part of a company that is a cocktail syrup company.
Okay.
So actually, I was just telling someone else this story that on my second anniversary, I got sober March 4th, 2019. And on my second anniversary this past March, I was making cocktails for a photo shoot for our company. And I made cocktails for like 8 or 10 hours that day or something. So I'm around alcohol all the time. It's been the thing I love about Ben's Friends is that not only do we speak about substance abuse, alcoholism, but we also talk about mental health. And I think that that's a huge thing for me. Like I remember going to a meeting and the topic was anger, you know, and then you don't find that whole lot in other groups. You know, where it's pretty singleness of purpose. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think like we talk about anger in AA too, but I mean, it's just important to me that we mention the mental health aspect where we do talk about dual diagnosis and things like that. And, I've applied a lot of what I have heard in Ben's Friends meetings because it's more conversational and it's a little bit more laid back and it's not as, rigid with readings and, you know, other religious or spiritual aspects of it. It's much more relaxed, in my opinion. I don't know if that's right.
Yeah.
So
it's not necessarily for people who are active in the restaurant industry.
Doesn't have to be.
Okay.
No, yeah.
So I know people who are in Ben's Friends who haven't been in the restaurant industry for a while.
Yeah.
But certainly use a lot of the elements that we talk about in mm-hmm. the meeting and can apply that to their sobriety, because one of the reasons why I was excited about Ben's Friends being reestablished is that there is that there's that dialogue that we can have with each other where we kind of understand mm-hmm. where we're all coming from. And as an alcoholic, you know, I'm looking for opportunities to relate mm-hmm. to other people in sobriety. So there's that level of I'm just another person like you, and you are trying to stay sober today. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're also people who have been in the craziness of the hospitality industry. So you mm-hmm. can relate on that level as well.
Yeah, restaurant people are restaurant people. Whether they've been there for 10 years.
That could be a very broad definition.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell if someone's worked in a restaurant at any point of their life with how they put their silverware on their plate when they're done eating.
Yeah.
We all can. Like, you just spot it. You're like, what restaurant did you work at?
Or even how they interact with the server. Yeah. Anywhere. Yeah, for sure.
It's its own language.
Yeah.
Right.
When I first came into, I'll kind of touch on my story a little bit. When I first got sober, the first thing I had to do was step down from a general manager position that I had been at for several years and been very successful. And up until the point where my drinking really started to interfere with my performance. Mm-hmm. So every day just really was just a struggle to just make it through the shift, much less try to do anything productive. So when I got sober, it became very obvious that I needed to sort of step down from all the responsibilities that go with running a restaurant. And so I became a server, pretty popular restaurant in Atlanta. And, but at that time, you know, the people around me, my sponsor included at the time, was just like, you're probably going to have to get out of the restaurant industry in order to maintain mm-hmm. your sobriety. Mm-hmm. And that thought terrified me because I was already 20 something years into
what
the industry. And it was all that I knew. And it's one of the few things that I knew I was even good at. You know, I was good at drinking and I was mm-hmm. certainly good at using drugs and partying. But I was also really good at the hospitality, and that was just a fact. So I really didn't know what I was going to do. So I took this job waiting tables to sort of free up my time so I could really focus on my program and really start developing a foundation of sobriety and attend as many meetings as I could. But in the meantime, even as this new job started, there were wine tastings every single day. And it's mm-hmm. a very prominent part of this particular job that I had.
Sure.
So it was put in front of me mm-hmm. every day. And when you're talking about just being 2-3 months into sobriety, it was a pretty tenuous situation. So luckily for me, and I mean really lucky, that my service manager at the time recognized that I was not partaking in any of the alcohol. And took me aside one day and said, "Hey, I noticed that you're not drinking. What's going on?" And I said, "Well, I'm kind of trying this sobriety thing." And he said, "Well, guess what? He was about 4 years into his own sobriety at the time.
That's amazing.
He said, and I said, "I don't know if I can work here because, you know, you guys are drinking booze all the time. You're pushing booze all the time." And he said that you can absolutely do this. And that was the first time that I had sort of a sliver of hope that I could stay in this industry that I was so familiar with and stay sober at the same time. And that is what, looking back, it was certainly, you can call it whatever you want, but for me, it was certainly a God shot. Like, that was just the little flicker that I needed to, first of all, stay sober for a little longer and to sort of get a little comfortable at the restaurant I was in. And I was there for several years, stayed sober the whole time, and this guy sort of guided me right through this, and that really helped build up my confidence. And it was shortly thereafter that I sort of heard about the Ben's Friends, and I knew of Steve Palmer. And I knew that he was a very successful, anybody who's in this restaurant industry who knows anything knows that Steve Palmer is borderline legendary in this industry. And so I knew that he had several years of sobriety because I had read an article where he just openly proclaims his sobriety and then talked about how Ben's Friends, how he was trying to launch Ben's Friends as a tribute to his friend and coworker who did not survive his drug addiction and alcoholism. And that's, I mean, and from what I can see, that's kind of what this chapter now, the reintroduction of this chapter into Atlanta, is trying to do. And correct me if I'm wrong. But,
oh, not at all.
So let's move on now.
Okay. Yeah, funny story about that, though. When I was first thinking about sobriety, I actually sent a Facebook message to Steve Palmer.
Directly?
Yeah. Wow. And I was asking him about it. I'm like, "Listen, I'm like, I want to go to this thing that you started, but I'm like, I work for a liquor company and I can't have the people there telling everybody my business."
Yeah.
Because I was convinced they were going to take my picture like a mugshot and throw it up on Facebook. Yeah. And he's like, "No, that's not what we do here." He's like, "Go to the meeting." So
that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's such a cool guy.
So do you remember your first Ben's Friends meeting?
Yes.
So tell me about that experience.
I mean, at that point, I was pretty desperate. Like, I think a lot of people are when they show up to something like that. I was feeling pretty lost. I've worked in this industry since I was 16 years old. And alcohol, since I was 16, has been part of this industry for me. So I thought that sobriety, I didn't know if permanent sobriety was going to be something for me, but even if I did it for a little while, I felt like I was going to lose part of my identity. And so going to it, I was surprised to see someone who I apparently knew, who was living a better version of his life in sobriety and hadn't lost everything. He was still functioning. He still had community. He still had friends. He still had more fun than it seemed like I was having.
And that is one of the things that drew me to the restaurant industry to begin with, was that sense of community.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I've always loved working in a restaurant is because you have such a diversity of people and cultures and backgrounds. But also I was drawn to it because it could be a very unprofessional atmosphere. And you're not necessarily, it's not necessarily frowned upon at some places to drink while on the job or to maybe show up a little messed up, but you know, it's going to be a busy night. So got to take the edge off.
Let's keep it moving.
A little bit,
hair
you know.
Of the dog.
And so you know, and that was what drew me mm-hmm. to the industry, mm-hmm. Was because I could surround myself by people mm-hmm. who were signing off on all the bullshit that I was participating in. Mm-hmm. And they understood me as an active drug user and alcoholic. They mm-hmm. knew that when I came crawling in the door to work a 12-hour shift, that they could empathize because they knew what I was going through. Mm-hmm. And so I was worried that I was going to lose all of that once I became sober, and I was going to lose a community that I had, I mean, really relied on. Everything that my whole life was centered around the hospitality. I mean, it was my income. It was my social circles. It was people I dated mm-hmm. in the restaurants. And so I sort of kind of had to re-identify myself in the industry. And mm-hmm. I certainly don't kick the door in and proclaim my sobriety at all. But there are people at work who pick mm-hmm. up on the fact that I don't drink. I don't announce it, but certainly, you know, if they are going to ask, mm-hmm. You know, I'll give them a little bit of insight into it. So, and speaking of, so if someone were to come to you and they were, someone say, in the restaurant industry, mm-hmm. and they're pretty entrenched in the industry, mm-hmm. And they want to know what Ben's Friends, what this particular program could do for them, what would you say? How would you encourage them?
Well, you know, I would say that the, you know, most of what we've talked about, the being able to relate is the biggest part, I think, of it. You know, Grant had said that it's its own language, being in the restaurant industry, understanding the hours, the people you have to deal with on a regular basis. It's just the stress, the running out of silverware in the middle of a shift, or running out of the special you just sold to a table and you didn't realize that it was out already. You know, I mean, like all these things. That you would deal with in the moment and then go take a shot of whiskey to like be okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, staff meeting, maybe.
Yeah. Staff meeting, yeah. Everybody at the bar.
Pre-shift.
You know, I mean, and I've worked in restaurants that, you know, the chef would come out and we would meet at the end of the bar at 9 o'clock every night and everyone would take a shot. And, you know, I've been fired from restaurants for giving out booze too often to, you know, people who were just my buddies coming in to drink with me at the bar, you know?
Same.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, and you're done, you know? So, but I would definitely encourage, you know, someone who is struggling to come to Ben's Friends, because there is that sense of community within Ben's Friends of all these people who are like, we're doing the thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, and some days it's fucking hard, yeah. And some days it's not as hard. And, you know, I'd say it gets, you know, easier, but it never gets easy, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that having that group of people who are still doing the same things, and some of them haven't been in the restaurant industry in a while, but they still understand. You don't let go of stuff. It's deep seated.
Yeah,
you know?
Mm-hmm. It is. It's certainly a mentality that mm-hmm. you develop. Mm-hmm. Over the years. How about you? What would you say to somebody who's sort of sober curious, as it were?
Well, I was sitting here thinking about that, and it's kind of a fascinating time. It's like, it's a great time to be sober because, one, we live in Atlanta where there's a lot of sober restaurant industry. It's can run into people in any restaurant, and you don't necessarily have to have your life out of control to want to stop drinking.
But it helps.
It does help. Yeah, it helps having your life. It helped me a lot. But you don't have to get there. And I know a handful of people that it just wasn't serving them anymore. And they decided to stop drinking because of that. And that's great. I wish I could have done that. I didn't. I had to burn it down a little bit. But if someone comes to me curious about sobriety, I like Ben's Friends because it is such a restaurant atmosphere. So if you bring someone new to Ben's Friend, it doesn't feel like anyone's preaching at you. It doesn't feel like anyone's telling you you can never drink again. It doesn't feel like anyone's judging you. It's a great group of people. and you get an hour or so of just connecting with other awesome restaurant people. I've never gone to a Ben's Friend and not felt recharged afterwards. Mm-hmm. I look forward to it all week now.
Yep, 100% of the time when I leave a meeting. You were going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say that, it's gone now. Never mind.
Okay. Well, I've always sort of gravitated to craziness my whole life anyway, which is why I was such a perfect fit for restaurants and why I've been relatively successful in restaurants, because I'm pretty nuts. But and that's why I was so thrilled. The concept to me is perfect. People in the industry who just want to lead a different life, because mm-hmm. frankly, we're all getting older, and these 12, 15 hour shifts mm-hmm. followed by 5 or 6 hours of heavy drinking and partying mm-hmm. yeah. only to turn around and try to do it again the next day. For me, that's just not a sustainable lifestyle mm-hmm. anymore. And I have been shown the door at several places mm-hmm. because I could not perform what I need. Even in a restaurant atmosphere, I could not perform the way I needed to perform because my mm-hmm. alcoholism had gotten so out of control.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I think you've mentioned kind of being drawn to the industry because they're my people. They drink like me mm-hmm. and they do drugs like me.
But and they're weird like us.
But then why am I getting fired because of my drinking and my drug use? You know, so I think that was kind of the eye opener for me. I was sat down. I was the corporate events planner for my company at the peak of my career. And I was sat down and told that they were shopping my position, and the only reason why I still had my job was because there was literally no one else to do it, and they had events coming up. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to lose like everything. I had health insurance. I had all of these things that I needed to be able to live. And, you know, like Grant said, like, you don't have to lose it all. It does help sometimes. And I think everybody's bottom is different, you know, and it takes what it takes, you know.
So if you're just joining us, we are on the Most High Show. We're talking about Ben's Friends, which is a support group for folks in the hospitality industry who are attempting to stay clean, to
some
stay
days
clean
really
and sober.
Attempting.
Yeah. And are looking for people to help support that journey. And that's exactly why I keep going back, exactly why I'm thrilled that it's back. Mm-hmm. In Atlanta. So, again, the meeting is at 12:30
yes.
every Sunday, mm-hmm. Southern Bell Restaurant, which mm-hmm. is over by Plaza Theater on Ponce.
Yes, also known as Georgia Boy, too. The, it's no longer open, but it does pop up on your GPS if you're looking.
A quick plug for them, too.
Such a great place.
It
looks
beautiful.
Amazing.
It's
I haven't
beautiful.
Eaten yet, but I'm excited about it, and it's... the menu's all coursed. I don't mm-hmm. know if you've noticed that. So it's multi-courses.
Mostly small plates, too.
And
yeah.
they have a really talented team there, and they do pairings with everything. And apparently they're doing this amazing non-alcoholic pairing with mm-hmm. the courses.
Yep.
Hasn't been advertised, and they're doing like 10 to 15% of the sales are just that at night. So. So yeah, you don't have to drink water all night when you go out to eat somewhere like that.
You can have a tasty mocktail. Yep.
So without going into drunkalogs or drugalogs, sure. Tell me what a typical weekend would look like you when you were really in the throes of your active addiction. Mm-hmm. What a typical weekend at a restaurant would look like for you.
Oh, I mean, I didn't leave.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably one of them. I mean, I've...
How long didn't you leave for?
I don't know. I mean, I've slept at the restaurant a couple of times, not more than 2 days in a row, but they're wondering why I'm in the same clothes and you've got mascara down your face. Anyway. Yeah. I mean, I was managing towards the end and doing corporate events. So, not corporate events corporately for the company.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I was just up to it the entire time, and I would drink the whole way through or do drugs the whole way through. You know, I mean, there was never a moment when I wasn't high or drunk towards the end, you know?
So it was from the moment you got up.
Oh, yeah.
And then you just maintained mm-hmm. through your 15-hour day, mm-hmm. which was probably a short day for you.
Yeah.
And then just real for me, I would, as soon as I would clock out and get out of the, I was off to the, it was as, now it's just full on, because near the end also, my day was consisted of just trying to keep my head above water.
Yeah.
Keep just enough buzz without people really catching mm-hmm. on, mm-hmm. but not sober up enough. So I, you know, started going into withdrawals.
I didn't care at the end. At the end, I was standing up with like bloodshot eyes, and like the whole staff is like, "We're not even listening to you." Whatever
know,
you're saying,
they know what's going on.
Oh, they all knew. And the funny thing was, I thought that I was a very functional drug user and drinker, and that's just not the case. Everyone knew the entire time. When I got sober, they were like, "Jesus Christ, finally!
It's about time."
Yeah, it is time for you.
I'm like, "What?"
Yeah, like, what do you mean?
Why didn't you say anything?
Yeah,
I think. I had been sober for a couple of weeks before I went back out, and I won't go into too much detail of the story, but I fell asleep in a parking lot and got bit by a lot of spiders, which is the worst hangover you can wake up to.
I'm sorry, it's not funny.
It is funny. And then I went to some bartender event.
No, see, I'm really not going to allow you to glaze over that. I hate to say it. But I've got you on mic, and there's lights on you. So you fell asleep in a parking lot in a car.
No, in a
literally.
Bush.
Okay.
Yeah. Hence the spiders. And I guess
in
the
a spider's nest.
They went to my heat or something like that. I'm not sure, but I got bit hundreds of times by spiders. So.
Did you drink after that?
Yeah, I kept drinking. I actually didn't know if it was a hangover. Yeah. I was telling people, I'm like, I think I feel worse because of the spider bites.
Yeah, you probably have some sort of poisoning.
But I went to I think it was a USBG cocktail event, and someone I knew was presenting at it who, like, he lived out of town, and I just remember him looking at me like, "You okay, man?" And I'm like, "I got bit by a bunch of spiders.
Look at my chest."
And the friend I was talking about before that I'd met at Ben's Friends, uh-huh. happened to be at that event.
Good.
And got to see me there. And he just
like, in all your glory.
I don't even know if we spoke, but I just kind of remember him being like, "Hey, Grant." I'm like, "Hey.
Hi.
Like, I got bit by some spiders.
Nothing to see here."
Yep. So yeah, that could have been one of my typical nights, was being bit by spiders.
Sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So why would you want to give that all up?
Calamine lotion for days.
I'm trying to think of something smart to say. I don't know. I really have no idea. It took me another week or two to really stop drinking.
So that was at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was towards the very end. Mm. That's the crazy though. It's you're holding on to this like shell of a life you have. And why? Like
your dignity's gone. Your pride is gone.
Yeah.
For me, my self-worth was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Any sort of credibility that I may have had professionally was out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt this deep sense of shame. Why can I not maintain this? When I see people around me doing okay, drinking and drugging, why am I the one who has to push it to that next
mm-hmm.
level?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the perspectives that I get every mm-hmm. time I go to one of these meetings, is because, again, I'm surrounded by my people when I'm at a typical 12-step meeting anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I feel even more insulated when I'm surrounded by people in or who have been in the industry mm-hmm. who are trying to maintain some sort of life in sobriety. You know, this last year has been a challenge for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I was saying earlier is that even just on a typical day, a typical week, it's hard enough to be in this industry, and always has been. And then you throw in attempting to be sober in there, and that's even more challenging, to the point where I just really didn't think I was going to be able to stay sober.
Mm-hmm.
It was either I was going to drink or I was going to have to find another job. I didn't think the two could be in the same room together.
Mm-hmm.
And then you throw in COVID-19, where that has just decimated a lot of restaurants. You know, I have a lot of friends in the industry who are still really struggling, who are still unemployed. So it's just, it's always going to be a challenge. Mm-hmm. And you get that sort of specific support at Ben's Friends, for me at least, that I can't find in the typical 12-step rooms. Mm-hmm. And so it's like that extra, kind of extra little additive for my sobriety. And that's why I'm really grateful that that's something that I get to do every single week. And even though it's at 12:30, I'm still sort of crawling in. That's still pretty early for a Sunday for me because it's not unusual for me to be at work till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
Shutting down the bar mopping up the sticky floor and wiping down all the hundreds of bottles of booze every single night. And people thought I was crazy to continue serving and bartending. But I'm here to, I'm living proof that you can actually do it. And I'm so grateful to be able to say that today, because I thought there was a 1 in a billion chance of me ever being able to keep the type of job that I have right now.
Mm-hmm. How much time
and
do you
stay
have?
Sober? My sobriety date is January 5th, 2015.
Nice.
So
that's
I'm
amazing.
In my seventh year
of
sobriety. And it's a miracle.
It's great.
It is a miracle. And I've been blessed along the way to meet other people who are in the restaurant industry, and just kind of having that, just knowing, even though I've never worked with you guys, we still know each other's story more or less.
Yeah.
And it just, it gives me that little extra bit of comfort knowing that there are hundreds, there are thousands of people all over the country who are in this industry, who are successful in this industry, who are successful in their sobriety, and they're passing it on to other people. And I have been lucky enough to introduce sobriety to several of my friends in the industry. Some have been successful with it, some have not, but And a lot of times, you know, where I work now, you know, I'm sort of the sober spokesperson.
Yeah.
You know, just it wasn't a position that I signed up for, but I am I'm the sober person at work. I don't know another person at my job, and we have 80 employees. I don't know another person who's
I mean, how many Facebook messages do you think you've gotten in the last year? They pop in all the time.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah.
I've stayed pretty public about my sobriety. And it's people all the time. It's not necessarily they're going to get sober, but they just want to talk. And it's one of the best parts of my life now is getting those types of messages. I love talking with people about it, sharing my spider bite story and how I don't get bit by spiders anymore. It's great. My life is really wonderful.
And just like my friend Dustin, who again, he never proclaimed his sobriety, you know, but when I came to him and said, how do you do this? Because he was our beverage manager too.
Yeah.
So he purchased all the booze. He created the cocktail list for the restaurant and did it all. So that blew my mind. Not just that he worked at a restaurant, but that he was in charge of all the alcohol. So I can tell you the job that I'd had before, I had made sure that the liquor cage that we had installed was in a specific place in the office that only I had access to.
And a blind spot on the camera.
Absolute blind spot. It was one of the few
right
blind spots on the camera. And that there were dozens of cameras around that restaurant. So we are going to transition just a little bit because there's an awesome guy that just walked in the door.
Celebrity
His name
chef.
Is David. See, ladies and gentlemen, the Jay Leno of the Most High of the Most High Show. I'm going to turn it over to you, David. How are you, man?
Hi.
Good to see you. You know, we're having a great conversation here about Ben's Friends.
Yes.
And
yes.
spiders.
Me, Grant and Mallory and spider bites.
Well, we're going to have to start all over because I'm here. No, you guys don't mind.
No. All right, can we cut?
Actually, I don't mind because
I... With me here? Is that cool, Christian?
I don't mind because I could talk about it. ad nauseum.
Man, thank you guys. James, I got to hear a little bit of it as I was coming down Holcomb Bridge, man. I appreciate you stepping up and doing that. How's everybody doing, man?
Doing great, fantastic. Man. So good to see you.
What's going on with Ben's friends? Did you guys already talk about all this? I'm so late. I apologize, everybody.
We talked about it.
Happy to reiterate.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I would like to know just a little bit more about it. I know, are you tag teaming the Atlanta area together?
Yes.
The whole show?
So we're helping to host it. It's doing it a little differently that we're actually every week you'll have a different discussion leader from the group.
Oh, okay.
Because I really like to hear myself talk. Yeah. But I've been told, I think specifically by you, Dave, that you get sick of listening to me, right?
No. Yeah. No, dude. You're looking good, too, by the way, man.
You look good. He looks great.
Good, man. Looking sharp, man, for real. So you guys are kind of like working Ben's friends together. I know before we had, a long time ago, we had Carrie Neal here. And
correct.
That's when I first ever heard about Ben's friends. Mm-hmm. And then she's still involved doing doing her part in the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
I think that's great. How did the first meeting go in Atlanta? Was it a good turnout? Everything work out?
It was great.
It really was a great turnout. I was shocked the first meeting that we had a couple of weeks ago.
15 plus?
There were like 15 to 20 people there, and it was just a really diverse group.
And a couple of beverage directors, too, as you were just talking
really?
About that.
That's really cool, man.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so the structure of the meeting is pretty simple. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's literally a round table of people from all aspects of the restaurant industry and some that aren't even in the restaurant industry any long, but are maybe sort of attached indirectly through syrup companies, right?
Oh, really? Yeah, because, you know, this is the second time I heard, like, there were some, alcohol distributors that are beverage distributors that are involved in the movement, right, with Ben's friends, right? And I just think in the restaurant industry, as far as, like, you know, like places that sell alcohol, right, I think there's like I love that aspect of it because there's like some accountability taken there, you know, about the whole alcohol deal. And, you know, am I off base by saying that?
I think there, we were talking about a little bit, I think there's a sober movement right now, whether you have a problem with alcohol or not.
Right.
Some people are just trying to be healthier and they still want to be part of the atmosphere.
Sure.
Right? And it's, you know, non-alcoholic cocktails are huge right now. And I love them. I think it's great. I like to drink something that's not just a soda water.
Yeah.
When I'm out and it's there's a
flavored up a little bit.
Yeah, there's a big there's a big market out there for that.
You like yourself a mocktail, Grant?
Mocktail.
I don't call it. I call it a temperance movement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Temperance.
Temperance movement. But we could call it a mocktail too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the structure of the meeting is pretty simple, but it's very effective at the same time. It's just a roundtable discussion. Mm-hmm. There's typically a discussion leader that
will like is it a is it set up on topics?
Well, they bring it something to the meeting. Yeah,
It can be, but it also can be loose conversation. You can talk about how wild your weekend was.
Yeah. We get
all the crazy stuff you made. Yeah, all the crazy stuff that you probably witnessed.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, I know that I come out of every weekend with a whole new slew of tales,
right?
Of stories, not just of guests, but coworkers and managers and some of the wild stuff that can go down when you mix people who are out trying to have a good time, drinking a lot of alcohol, and then
working
the people,
in that high pace
and then the
industry.
People who are trying to make money off of them.
Yeah.
We'd love to have a celebrity chef like yourself there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, Ben's friends, this movement, and I'm ignorant of it, but it's still, I'm pretty much ignorant of it. I know a little bit, and I know it's countrywide, right?
Yeah, nationwide.
Nationwide, yeah. I would say. I'm sorry. Nationwide. All over every city probably has a friends movement.
A handful of cities, but we should mention, and this kept me sane through COVID, was Ben's friend has a national Zoom meeting every day at 1:00 Eastern Standard Time. And it is awesome.
It is very awesome.
Like, it is great.
Oh, I'm gonna cool tune people. In. I think did we talk about that?
We did. Before? Yeah.
I'm gonna I wanna tune into that, you know.
A lot of good recovery.
But to be honest with you, like the restaurant industry is, I mean, I was like born into it.
Me yeah. Too. Yeah.
You know, like before, I mean, this is like 78, 79. I was, you know, like picking as a, like a 5-year-old, I was like cleaning green beans at a Chinese restaurant that my Korean mom and sister and uncle all worked at. Like we were the only Asians in the whole town. So it was just, seemed like we were supposed to be there. And
yeah,
and that's just the way. I mean, that's the way it was back then. I don't know. It was a little town, and man, I would do it just for like the beat, the spare ribs.
Yeah,
I would do anything when I was 5 for spare ribs, man. I loved it.
And I'd do anything for them. Now.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I grew up. My first job was as a host. You know, then I voluntarily from that position, being in front of the people all the time, I voluntarily like said, I want to be a dishwasher. I can't be out on this floor. All
you
the
volunteered
time.
That.
I volunteered it,
and most I important and I then but during the restaurant.
Yeah during the but during the years I did both. You know, I worked in the front of the house, and then I'd work in the back of the house, and then it wasn't until actually I one of the first times I went to county jail because of my addiction that I was able to work at a country club and just take the whole thing up a notch. You know, I went.
Wait, you worked at a country club while in jail?
Well, I was on work release, and I worked as a dishwasher.
Okay. Nice.
I worked
right.
as a dishwasher at a country club, and they were hiring real cheap. And
those are two really different places: the country club versus.
I could tell
jail.
You so many stories, dude. I mean, you know, I wasn't the only one from the work release program that worked at the country club, and there were like so the front of the house were all the country club members' daughters were like servers, and we were all. You know, prisoners in the back of the house, and that mixture was something else, man. Yeah,
interesting.
Next generations were made, Christian. Next generations were made. That setup was not the smartest in the world, but.
Yeah, I think
I learned
just got an idea
a lot.
For a TV show, right?
But, yeah, that is
that country club.
It was. It was a
country club.
Yeah.
There you go, dude. That's
we already have a patent on that.
That's awesome.
I was watching.
Trademark.
Love it. I love it.
But yeah, I mean, I worked in the industry for my whole life, really, mm-hmm. until you know moving here, and I was cooking here when I met Christian and everything, and. It was because of the Most High Show that I was really, my education and the stuff that I was really passionate about, my career changed. Mm-hmm. But my heart is always, you know, I always think about, you know, the pirates mm-hmm. in a restaurant and mm-hmm. the partying and the sobriety that's really needed in that atmosphere, dude. It's right. it's a crazy life. So I think this is, it's really cool. And if it's a round table discussion, you bring it in, I mean, is it, you know, everybody, is it interactive talking?
Yeah, people can choose is. Not to talk if they don't want to. Mm-hmm. It's yeah. their first time there, but yeah, we crosstalk.
That's
we,
what I was going to say. I wanted, I didn't want to use that word, but yeah, you can just talk back and forth just like we're doing, yep. right?
Yeah.
That's really cool, man. It's really cool. So I just saw recently you were talking about people in Charlotte, right? Have you been up there to check out?
I haven't. I need to make a trip up there.
Yeah.
They've got some good sobriety in the restaurant industry. Up there.
Yeah, I hear that too, dude. That's real. So how long have you been involved, Mallory?
Well,
this is my first time meeting you.
Yeah, so nice to meet you. Well, I guess I first came in when I got sober in March of 2019.
Okay.
To Ben's friends.
So you were already in the industry?
I was in the industry when I was 15, okay. same thing. Mm-hmm. Started as a host.
Yeah.
Went to Expo. Bus tables all the way up to general manager and then corporate event planner when I was like 31 or 32.
Right.
So yeah, I started using at a very young age. Mm-hmm. And when I got out of the industry, which was not that long ago, I was like, what am I going to do? Like, yeah. I don't know how to do anything else. Like, I didn't go to school for anything. I don't have any, like, special skills. I can barely type. Like, you know, yeah. like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And so I held on to the restaurant industry. Like, I didn't know what else to do.
It's a place where you can make money. You know what
yeah,
you're doing.
Yeah, you make money. People were, what I thought, were drinking and drugging like me. But
You're a little bit heavier than the norm.
I had mentioned earlier I was the one that was getting fired, which was weird.
I was hanging out with you.
You were hanging out with me. We had a couple of long nights. Funny story, actually. Grant and I were in my first Ben's Friends meeting, and he's like, let me get your number, like exchange numbers so we can meet up. And he like puts my number in his phone, and it pops up a text message that was like 4 a.m., the last text message that we had with each other was at 4 a.m. like 3 years prior, whatever.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that was kind of interesting. never mind.
I'd love to see that thread.
It was riddled with drugs. But anyway.
I'm not going to incriminate myself on camera.
I'll just plead
the fifth. The fifth on camera. I dig it.
So I came into the restaurant industry because it accepted me. It, even for all my eccentricities at the time. And when I started in the restaurant industry, I didn't drink, I didn't do anything. But in order to sort of be a part of the social aspect of the industry, that sort of came with the territory. So I would regularly attend, you know, after working a 12-hour shift, I'd go off to a house party till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning on an early night.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times that would just sort of flow right into the next
day.
Shift.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Before you knew it was Monday.
Well, that's considered being good at your job, right?
Absolutely. I was dedicated.
That's serious.
I was dedicated to partying and I was dedicated to work. And I was pretty reliable for most of that time. I was one of the people that you could count on. Even if I came in, you know, with my head screwed on sideways, I could still make it through. But near the end, that was just not even possible for me to maintain the level of using that I was doing at the time. There was no way I could be an effective employee or employer for that matter, much less an employer. So,
you know, you've mentioned earlier the same thing. And I was just thinking, like, there was never a situation where it was like, let's go have a cocktail after work. Like, it was always, the intention was to get as messed up as possible, as fast as possible, with whoever wanted to come, like, or I'll just go by myself. Like, it was never, I've never been a person who's like, I'm just going to enjoy, you know, a cocktail with dinner and then, you know, maybe I'll go home to bed, but that maybe was such a big maybe, you know, so.
You know, it's funny because, you know, I think, you know, the restaurant industry is, kind of prepared for it in a way because, you know, you show your value doing a good job. Let's say you're a great waiter, right? You're a great server, a great cook, and you show what you can do. And like the turnover rate is so high in that industry that when, you know, the managers notice like your value kind of quick. So what happens in addiction is you take advantage of it. You start coming in late, you start hanging out more. You know, I mean, that's what I did. I've been fired repeatedly at the same place, kicked out, brought back, kicked out, brought back. You know what I mean? This is because of my drinking or drugging or all that, just constantly being late. But then when I was able to perform, you know, I like helped get everybody through the night pretty efficiently. You know?
Well, they'll feed it and feed it and feed it until they're like, okay, no more for you. You know, it's fine for you to be messed up as long as you're functioning at a high level, you know,
until you start.
I'm curious, and I get mixed answers on this. I ask a lot of restaurant people. I will say I don't miss going out for drinks after work or with people. Like, I thought I was going to miss that so much. Like, I thought that was the way I connected people with people is going to be gone, but I don't miss it at all. Like, you hear newly sober people being like, I just want to be able to have a beer with everyone after work. I don't want that.
Or how am I going to have fun? I'm just going to be boring. I'm not going to have anything to do, you know? And I think like, that's part of why Ben's Friends is so important, is that it shows you that you can create a network and a community of people who are sober, who do things together that are fun. And, you know, it's not just going to a meeting by yourself and then going about your life on your own. You know, you're creating something around you that, you know, that when you first get sober, the phone weighs 1,000 pounds. Mm-hmm. It's hard to walk in the door of that meeting, you know? So like, I think for Ben's friends, people that come in and new people, it's like, we got you and we'll show you how to do fun things sober.
And it's that whole got you thing that worked for me. I needed to see somebody who
else
was
doing it.
Yeah.
Somebody else doing it. Mm-hmm. And thank God that person was immediately available to me every single shift that I worked. I got really lucky in that aspect. Yeah. And today, I hate to say it, but you know, I am surrounded by people who are struggling with substance abuse on a regular basis. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I have to see that also. To know that that's the life that I don't want for myself anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't want to crawl through every shift.
Right.
Just so I can get back to the bar to blow all the money that I just made.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and the industry, it's rife with alcoholism. Mm. It's rife with addiction, but I think we're slowly starting to see because this of trend. Programs like Ben's
that's a great I mean I, that's why I think it's so this is so cool. The concept is so cool for it to be concentrated on this industry because you know and I don't know the numbers or anything like that but there's a good chance that a ton of addicts come from the restaurant and construction business. It's probably the two that I've seen, you know, and I was a part of like both of them in some case somehow. And and the thing is what I loved about the restaurant and the best thing about that industry is the people. I love the people. Yeah, I love the people that I worked with. I love their lives. I love like the camaraderie, the teamwork, and all those things that takes place in this high-paced place where everybody's trying to make a dollar. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like a struggling aspect of that industry that like, you know, where you go out and have a drink at the end of the night,
stressful.
You know, for my case, usually during the night, as the night progressed, you know, by the time it was time for me to leave, I was lit. You know what I mean? So,
well, I think we underestimate how many people are dying of this in the restaurant industry.
Yeah.
Cause people only equate death from addiction and alcoholism to dying directly from alcohol or dying because they did too many drugs. But the amount of people I know that have died from heart attacks, brain aneurysms,
cirrhosis.
Suicide.
Wow.
Yep.
Those are all directly related with
liver.
Addiction.
Yeah. Cirrhosis of the liver.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time.
Or the addiction thing. It's we all know fentanyl's in the drugs out there right now. Yeah. Like if you buy some drugs, there's fentanyl in it. Just assume that.
We had a kid at the restaurant that I worked at. He got a bag of whatever he thought it was, and it had fentanyl in it. And he, right behind the bar, he was working and just like fell over from standing up. I mean, it was,
that's scary,
you know,
man.
Yeah, it's frightening, you know.
Whew, that's real. That's very real.
That was rough.
I wanted to backtrack a second. That your question was,
how do you miss
you feel? Do I currently no, but a big portion of like my biggest excuse for like not stopping was that, you know, it was like, oh man, I want to hang out, or you know, it would be mind games I would play with myself would be. No, man, I can't. This is where I work. This is what I do. And that was kind of my biggest excuse to stay drunk and wasted all the time and using all the time. It was just, you know, that's what we did, you know. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't, it was hard for me to imagine not doing that afterwards. But, you know, I was able to experience sobriety in the industry on a very small scale, you know, but there was still a bar there. I cooked there. There were still, you know, parties like crazy. I mean, the last place I worked probably was, you know, a huge, like, very serious, like, you know, party style, hardcore partying events would take place. I mean, with a lot of not good thing.
You know, I don't think you can mention that party, can you? I know what you're talking about.
I signed a piece of paper saying I can't say no names.
Is this an annual thing?
That's how hardcore it was.
Is there another one coming up?
Yeah. I don't know, man. All right. I don't know nothing.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, get with me after. Oh, okay. Right.
I think there is definitely something to be said for, like, I still do things, like, I'm able to be around people drinking now. Mm-hmm.
Now, not
at the beginning. And I'm able to do things, as long as I have something to do, like a purpose for being there, then it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I will go and dance, or I'm with a friend and we're talking about something, and it's okay. But if I'm just sitting around watching a bunch of people drink,
it's
like,
boring.
It's boring. They're boring. Oh, you're boring me. I don't want to talk to you. You know,
to be sober with drunks, dude, is the worst
exactly
place to be at in the world.
Like, I'm going to bed.
That's annoying.
I'm just shocked I didn't act like they did.
No.
I
know. You
drunk.
Were so different
yeah.
when you were an alcoholic, right?
Yeah. But I'll tell you,
I'm a snowflake.
The most interesting, the most colorful people, the most fucked up people I have met in the restaurant industry. Mm. And I'm really grateful for all the time that I've had. And I'm really grateful that I didn't have to pack it in when it was time for me, because it was time for me to get sober. Mm. But I'm really grateful that I didn't have to walk away from the years that I had invested in the restaurant industry in order to stay sober. I'm really grateful for that. And I know there's a lot of people that were not able to do that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But for me, you know, I had to dig in a little deeper, had to try a little harder. And I really had to really focus on the foundation of sobriety and fall back on that on a regular basis. And there were many times, and there still are really, there are a lot of times where I feel very much alone at the restaurant. And I'm the only one that kind of understands what is going on. And certainly, you know, I'll have these fleeting moments where, like, God, you know, a shot of bourbon would really take the edge off tonight.
Yeah. Because we're especially probably
when you're
like,
it probably
got,
would.
We just got our butts kicked for the last 5 hours. Yeah. Boy. But I know from experience that a shot of bourbon is never enough for me. 5-10 shots is never enough for me. And I'm just grateful that I'm able to stay within the hospitality industry, doing something that I'm pretty decent at.
Well,
and stay sober.
Yeah, I mean, your perspective is everything on that currently, though. I mean, you say you get to see, you know, it's like a therapy. There's a therapeutic value in what you're doing right now as far as your sobriety is concerned, because you get to see it and you get to say, you see people struggling. You know what I mean? I mean, that's, you know, face-to-face stuff. You see addicts and people like really, you know, having a tough time dealing with alcoholism and drug addiction and things like that. So your perspective on that, you know, just saying to myself, man, I'm glad I ain't got to go through that. I'm glad I am where I am.
Today, I don't have to do that.
Exactly. I think that's a great perspective to have in that industry and being sober.
And I think just there you summed up what Ben's Friends
is absolutely
all about.
I mean, I could see it to being like, you know, busy night, everybody's clocking out like 12:30, 1 o'clock or whatever. You know, they go this way, y'all go that way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it could be as simple as that, you know, especially the more Ben's Friends grows, the more people, you know, and that's why we have you guys on here, the more people understand and see this movement and see how wide range it is. It's in almost every city, right? Mm-hmm. So there's always a Ben's Friends. There's a place to go. There's a group that, you know, if you're trying to put alcohol and drug addiction behind you and you're attempting to live a sober life in the industry, there's a place where you can go hang out, man, and chill and, like, have, you know, have fun and, you know, have good discussion and talk with each other and, like, deal with life on its own terms.
So when can they do the Zoom meeting? There's a Zoom meeting every day, correct?
There's a national Zoom meeting at 1 p.m. every day.
Okay.
And you can find the link on the website.
Okay.
Bensfriendshope.com, right?
Bensfriendshope.com.
Yep. And there is an evening one as well.
Okay.
There's a couple.
A Zoom? Evening Zoom one? Okay.
I think Mallory was in charge of remembering the times.
but if they are in Atlanta, physically in Atlanta, they can attend a meeting in person. And when is that, Grant?
That's Sunday at 12:30 at Southern Bell, Georgia Boy.
Okay.
Oh, so it's a weekly.
Yes.
Every Sunday, you guys hang out.
And we know it can still be. We debated a lot about what time to have it. We knew that. That's so tough. Like, at first it was like, do we do it at 11? And like, no, people are not coming at 11.
Might as well do
and it's
7
like,
a.m.
But you don't want to do it. Some people do have to work Sunday nights. So that's 4 o'clock.
This sucker.
Do you work on Sunday nights?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Oh, so we come eat there after the meeting.
Yes.
Oh, I love Seafood Tower. Seafood Tower.
You could see the shenanigans that go down.
That's going to be fun when we do that.
Yeah, Sundays are a big day because we, you know, where I work, that which will go unnamed, has a huge patio. So Sunday Fun Day is in full effect at my restaurant.
On Ben's friend's field trip.
Not only do all the guests participate, but a majority of the staff participate in Sunday Fun Day also. And if they didn't already come in, they weren't already pre-gaming, they're certainly getting up to speed within an hour or so of being there.
We used to do bottomless mimosas and Bloody Marys at my restaurant. Oh my gosh.
I can't tell you how many times, though, at the end of a shift back in the day, where I was rolling my silverware with one eye closed.
Just make sure the spoon, paying someone
$20-$40 to do my
side work, so I could bounce
because I could catch myself slurring already.
I got in trouble at a restaurant. I'm sorry, Grant.
No, go for it.
I got in trouble at a restaurant for rolling like all forks. And I didn't realize that that's what was happening. I'm like, I just thought you just put the silverware in, you know?
What about, I think we've all been managers here. What about waking up the next morning and be like, did I lock the restaurant?
Oh, yeah.
Is there a fire in there?
Did I blow out the candles?
Did I leave anyone in there?
I used to be so paranoid about that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rush back every morning.
I moved my family like beside the restroom. I used to be so paranoid about that kind of stuff, dude.
Yeah.
For real.
That's crazy.
The last two places I worked besides this place, one restaurant, I lived right on top of it because I was a general manager and like head chef there, right? And then the place before that, I moved literally right across the street from it because that kind of I lived the place of fire. You know, is the food going to come in? You know, I've walked into being in management and stuff like that. I have like locked the door the wrong way and have walked down the street and saw like $2,000 of Cisco items on the curb in open, like as people are walking by, just sitting there waiting for me to load.
So this is the thing, though, a normal drinker, non-restaurant person wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
That you moved in above your restaurant in case you drunkenly left the door unlocked.
Yep.
Like a normal person would be like, you did what?
Because I know I'm not going to do well. I'm going to screw it up if I'm too far away.
Yeah.
And the paranoia of that is like eat you alive.
And that's how you make your world smaller.
Yeah,
because you're taking action based off your drinking.
Like, I'm rotating my family, because of the way I live, just to deal to be able to function in the workforce.
That is such a good point, Grant. Because I remember at the end, that reminds me at the end of my drinking, my world had become so small. Mm-hmm. It was all drinking, restaurant, drinking, drinking, restaurant, and to the point where they just became completely infused.
Yeah.
So there was no separation of work and drinking. Yeah. It all became one big sort of blur for me. And there's just no maintaining that sort of lifestyle. You're either going to go to jail, you're going to die, or you're going to get sober.
Yeah.
Very true. Those are the only three ways out of it when you're as entrenched as I was, at least.
I don't know if you guys discussed this at all before I came, but did you guys have any talk about the industry post-COVID? Well, not post-COVID, but during COVID?
During COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's it like right now? Because I'm not in it. I know we talked to about it for a little while.
I mean, people have been dying, for one. I mean, not just from COVID, but from from the isolation. I mean,
You're
talking about your life. Like one of the things that slows you down from drinking is you have to go to work. Mm-hmm. Now you don't have that interruption in your drinking.
Well, that's so good, Grant. Yeah. That's true, man.
I have someone actually very close to me. His wife passed. She was in a motel room and she literally drank herself to death. And that's exactly that. She had no responsibility, no accountability, no reason to be anywhere, you know, because she had lost her job and all of that.
Yeah.
I mean, what about just the suicide? You know, some of us need someone to tell us we're doing an okay job every once in a while. And you might get that going into your restaurant.
Yeah.
You don't get that for
a little bit of affirmation that you need, right?
Yeah.
And I've been floored at the number of people that I've met recently who have stayed, who have gotten sober this past year for start.
Yeah.
I cannot
it's
even
crazy.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Good for them. I'm
to get
so
sober
proud of them.
Without having a physical meeting to go to every single day, sometimes twice a day, because that's what I had to do for the first several months, the first 90 days for sure. You know, some people talk about doing 90 and 90. I was, you know, trying to do about 150 and 90.
90. Yeah.
And but that's just what I needed
at
the time. So the fact that I've met so many people who have gotten sober and stayed sober this past, it's seriously no less than a miracle.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thankful I'm sober through this. I cannot imagine this past year where I've actually accomplished a lot in my personal life. And I could have been one of those people dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't a stretch of my imagination at all. So.
Oh, you know, I think about that too. Like if I was an active addiction or anything like that, or I had like early sobriety or anything like that, facing COVID and not, you know, just the change of things like that would be really bad for me.
It would have been a perfect
just
excuse.
Just dealing with that would, if God didn't place me where I'm at right now, dealing with that crisis, it would have been very difficult for me, seriously.
And so that's the thing that I think is the most important about Ben's Friends, is to let people know that they are not alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They might not work directly with someone who is sober. I don't. But I know that I'm not alone. I know that there are people who are navigating this business and this industry successfully and coming out on the other end healthy.
Thriving. Look at Steve Palmer. Just Google him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This guy.
But I think that with Ben's Friends, I'll speak for myself that, for me, talking about the community inside the restaurant, the most important thing for me staying sober through COVID has been my connection to other people who are sober.
Mm-hmm.
And that's through a phone call, a Zoom meeting, whatever it might be. I might not go to meetings. I kind of stopped going to Zoom meetings because it wasn't doing it for me anymore.
Right.
But I pick up the phone and I call Grant or I call another friend in sobriety and just stay connected. And I think that's what's really important.
Is valuable.
It's what it's all about.
So remind our listeners then, what's the email address? If somebody wants to email you guys
directly
to find more information, is there a Ben's Friends email?
So it's our emails on our postcard here. Mine is g.hurless, H-U-R-L-E-S-S @gmail.com. You can email that. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Grant Me Serenity.
Cute.
Isn't that so cute?
People hit me up all the time, so I'm always happy to get a message.
Grant _ Me Serenity, right?
It is Grant _. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you feel like you guys feel like
my social media person isn't here? So.
Do you feel we're getting what? Sorry?
You guys feel like you're getting, is the word getting out about Ben's Friends this year?
We've been doing our best. There's a flyer. They promoted us on the website.
Cool.
Or Instagram.
If you haven't gotten a message from me yet on Facebook or text message, you will. Just let me know that I've forgotten you. I'll start hitting you up.
There's also an email list that I put out an email to everyone at Ben's Friends who has attended already, that they can forward that email to anybody. It has a calendar of all the discussion leaders for the month of May.
Okay. And
really
if they want to find more information online, they can go to Ben's Friends.
Hope.com.
Ben's Friends Hope.com.
Yep, or Google it.
It's awesome.
When are you discussion leader? That's coming up, right?
Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. If you are free Sunday at 12:30,
there we go.
Like to join us at Southern Bell Restaurant on Ponce, right next to the Plaza Theater, I will be the discussion leader. So prepare to have your socks just completely knocked off.
Yes.
There will probably be weeping. I plan on having an altar call at the end.
That's awesome.
So y'all, seriously, come out. It's just an opportunity to just sit and fellowship with like-minded people who are trying to navigate this wild-ass industry that has been through some serious aftershocks this year.
You
get to sit around with people who are trying to stay clean and sober, work in this industry or near this industry, and show you that it can be done, that it can be done successfully. And you can really, and you can thrive in this industry as a sober person, I did not even think was even remotely possible. I thought by now I would probably be sitting in a cubicle somewhere asking people if, taking random survey answers, doing something like that, that is just not as active and as wild an atmosphere as I'm used to, because I kind of have to have that in my life as well. I have to sort of have that chaos.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that I'm not contributing to most of the chaos in my life, that it really comes from needy guests now or crazy managers or crazy coworkers, you know? So I really encourage, even if you're sober, if you're sober curious in the industry or near the industry, to come out and check out
Ben's friends. You guys, check them out.
You're going to get to meet Grant and Mallory.
Yeah, that's right.
That's good enough reason to come out.
That's good enough reason.
If you ask me.
Is there anything else, man? You guys like to mention anything else about Ben's friends or what's going on? Anything coming up in the future that you can think about talking about?
I think we've already talked about what's coming up in the future.
That's right. That's you're right. Later.
Sunday, 12:30. Come directly from church.
I got to say something because it's been so long since I've seen you, right?
Yeah.
So, and this is totally off subject, okay? But a while back, James had written my story through a podcast that we did a while back, and he actually wrote it and he sent it to me. And after he got done writing it, he messaged me, and I'm not gonna go on about what was all said, but after after you put it on paper, my story on paper, but your reaction to it was probably the most compassionate reaction I've ever had to somebody knowing about my life. And it meant a lot to me, man. I wanted to thank you for that.
Well, you have an awesome story and a very inspiring story.
Yeah.
And I was, and all I did was write what you dictated. So
it meant a lot to me.
Grateful for the opportunity. You're awesome, David.
That's so sweet. That is the sweetest thing. My gosh.
And it's been a while. I haven't seen you really since then. So I've been wanting to tell you that.
Thank you, buddy.
But anyways, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in to the Most High Show. Grant, Mallory, James, thank you so much for letting the world know about Ben's friends. And I think the movement is awesome. I think it's zoned in on a population that really could use it, if that makes any sense. So
yeah.
Thank you guys so much.
Love you guys.
Thank you so much.